Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, December the 7th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to give us an understanding of your truth, so that we might walk according to your will and our lives be transformed according to all that you will give us. We ask, Lord, that you would fill us with truth and understanding, that we might stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to share with you a couple of articles that have to do with some of the reactions of the evangelical far right to the loss of the election by Donald Trump. And incidentally, let me just inform you in advance that as of our next session, we will not just be reading you the articles that we find that are relevant, but that we will place them in the context of all that God has told us, so that you might have an understanding of exactly what this is really about. We're hoping that you will look forward to that. We will be traveling a little bit longer than we normally do. We do about 20 to 25 minutes in our daily briefing, but perhaps we will get to about 30, 35 minutes, but because we need to make this even more relevant and clear as time progresses. And so, beginning in our very next session, that's right, we'll be taking a look at the articles that we're going to read today and placing them in the context of where this all will ultimately lead. We will also be able to place the title of the daily briefing on our website so that you'll be able to go down and see not just the date of the daily briefing, but as you see it at the moment in the morning manner, you'll be able to see a title there and you'll be able to find it that way. The first article we'd like to share with you today is from the Crooks and Liars website. That's right, there is such a website. Crooks and Liars. And this article was published there on November the 17th, 2020. The writer of that article is John Amato, A-M-A-T-O. And actually, it's not so much an article as it is a YouTube copy of a speech made by Pat Robertson. But since we are doing this audio, I thought I would download the transcript of what he said, so that you wouldn't miss anything, but you can find it there also. The title of the article is Pat Robertson Screams, Venezuela Stole Election from Trump. That's the title of the article. Pat Robertson Screams, Venezuela Stole Election from Trump. And then there is a subtext to that title. Pat Robertson's new conspiracy theory involves Venezuela. Yes, Venezuela. And as I said before, the title of the article is Pat Robertson Screams, Venezuela Stole Election from Trump. You can find this in the actual YouTube. And all I'm going to read for you now is the transcript. I'm not adding anything to what he said. The article was published on November the 17th, 2020. Here's a transcript. And this is Pat Robertson talking. Doesn't it shock you, ladies and gentlemen? Doesn't it shock you? I'm so sick of hearing anchors, including those on Fox News, saying the unproven allegations, the unproven, and the president doesn't have evidence. There is reams of evidence. Evidence pointing to fraud, reams of sworn testimonies and people. You hear these guys saying there are unproven allegations. Trump doesn't have to prove anything. He has the evidence and the proof. Well, he has no evidence. The evidence is overwhelming. And the thought that Venezuela might be controlling the company that in turn handles the huge amounts of ballots that control the election of the United States, it's horrifying. I was told that the huge servers have millions of ballots, which were in Germany. Now, I understand that it may well be in Barcelona, Spain, but it's not in America. This is something that we cannot permit. We cannot allow this to happen in this great country, and we cannot allow our elections to be stolen. I hope that the people in the so-called fake media will behave themselves and stop saying that the president should be quiet and accept the results and roll over and give Biden everything he asked for. No way, no how. Now that's the transcript. That's basically what he said. And if you go in, you'll find it in the YouTube. Now, in our next session, we're going to explain why he would say that in the first place and what the real objective is for those of you who do not understand what the objective is. We're going to take this slowly and by detail. We have been so blessed by so many individuals who have been taking in the daily briefing, and every now and then we get a call of people asking us to explain the connection between what is in the article and how it relates. And so what we're going to do is we're going to expand the daily briefing to include, as I said before, to include an explanation as to where this is coming from, what God has warned us concerning, and how each one of these articles applies. Now, that's the first one. And the other article I'm going to share with you today is from the Dallas Morning News. The Dallas Morning News. This one was published last year, October the 1st, 2019. The writer of this article is Robert Wilinski, W-I-L-O-N-S-K-Y. And the title of that article is What Robert Jeffries Meant When He Said Removing Trump Would Cause Civil War-like Fracture. So that's the Dallas Morning News article in the Dallas Morning News website, published October the 1st, 2019. What Robert Jeffries Meant When He Said Removing Trump Would Cause a Civil War-like Fracture. And you remember in earlier articles, he made that point. We can also make an application as to who Robert Jeffries is and what he's all about, and what makes these men so seriously connected to the President of the United States at the moment. But for now, I want to read a little bit of the article found in the Dallas Morning News. Here goes the article. Robert Jeffries has said profoundly offensive and troubling things about a great many people. Muslims and Mormons, gays and Jews, immigrants and transgender soldiers, women who seek abortions, and the panty-waisted, weak-kneed Christians who refuse to vote for his friend Donald Trump. And of late, Greta Thunberg, a teenager tired of watching the world burn. After writing about Jeffries for years, I find his outrage machine just a buzz of indecipherable bleats, whines, and whirs. But a comment uttered Sunday cut through the white noise. I thought nothing of it at first, just another tire tossed on the fire. But the next day, local scholars and theologians reproved my shrugged shoulders at words that many felt were tinged with violence and colored by contempt when later tweeted by President Trump. These men, who study and preach in a very different gospel than Jeffries, said over and over, those words, rooted in history books and biblical texts, carry great weight, and we should not take them lightly or dismiss them as more of the same old hateful TV talk. Will the Mavericks allow fans of the American Airlines Center for Games a decision to be made? Now, this is how I wound up on the phone with Robert Jeffries on Monday afternoon, to find out what he meant when he went on the Fox News channel on Sunday night and fretted that if the Democrats are successful in removing the president from office, I'm afraid it will cause a civil war-like fracture in this nation from which this country will never heal. Now, let me pause to say that that's what he said, okay? He said that on Fox. And so this writer here, his name is Robert Wilinski, went to find out exactly what he meant by that. Continuing. Over the phone, Jeffries said in that general tone that always suggests it's you, not him. I was very precise in the language I used. I was not advocating or predicting an actual civil war if Trump is removed. What I said was such removal would cause a fracture in our country like our country experienced after the Civil War. The Civil War ended 160 years ago, and yet the wounds did not completely heal. And I think if you remove a president for the first time in history, a president who received 63 million votes, it will have the same kind of long-lasting impact. Now that's Robert Jeffries talking. If you somehow missed it, First Baptist Dallas senior pastor went on Fox and Friends on Sunday night to discuss the House impeachment inquiry sparked by a whistleblower's complaint that Trump had pressed the Ukrainian president to investigate Joe Biden. Jeffries called it a Democrat's attempt to illegitimately remove the president from office, overturn the 2016 election, and negate the votes of millions of evangelicals in the process. Trump tweeted Jeffries' comments, slightly edited, and sparked an outrage from which the internet has yet to recover. A Republican congressman from Illinois called Jeffries' words beyond repugnant when reiterated by a president. A Harvard law professor said the president's tweet alone could serve as a basis for impeachment. In a Twitter thread, author Seth Abramson said it's not an exaggeration to say both Trump and his surrogate Jeffries are trying to foment civil unrest. Robert Hunt, director of the Center for Evangelism in SMU's Perkins School of Theology, told me Monday he didn't see the comment as an instigation of violence, but as a justification for it. Jim Wallace, the progressive Christian who publishes Sojourners, told Huffington Post that Trump used Jeffries' words to give supporters permission to be outraged. And a right-wing militia told Jeffries via Trump at his word, insisting we are on the verge of a hot civil war, like in 1859. In the hours after Jeffries' Fox appearance and tweets from Trump, there were no shortages of outcries and interpretations. Jeffries insisted repeatedly he was not attempting to incite or advocate violence, or that he said would be irresponsible. If you try to argue otherwise, you're either dumb or dishonest, Jeffries said. Either words mean something or they don't. If they say I'm calling for a civil war, they're lying. They're putting something out in the air. When I told him that Oath Keepers, classified by the Southern Poverty Law Center as a right-wing anti-government militia, took him at his word, Jeffries said this was not of his doing. I'm responsible for the words I speak or tweet, he said. I'm not responsible for what some nut job does with them. Ah, yes. The gospel of not it. In time, of course, the furor over the comment and tweets will subside. Already the headline is fading into footnotes, churned and burned. There's even a fresh outrage to replace it. Monday night, Jeffries went on Todd Starr's Fox Nation radio show to claim Democrats worship the pagan god of the Old Testament, Moloch, who allowed for child sacrifice. Yes, he did say that also on the Fox Nation radio show. Let me say what he said again. Monday night, Jeffries went on Todd Starr's Fox Nation radio show to claim Democrats worship the pagan god of the Old Testament, Moloch, who allowed for child sacrifice. Things you say when you have left no sense of decency. But George Mason, the far more progressive pastor at Wilshire Baptist Church in Abraham's Road, wondered Monday if Jeffries uses those words civil war because they herald what he's long preached. It is, after all, what his books and sermons promise, the countdown to the apocalypse, the coming of the cleansing fire. And the more conflict exists, says Mason, the more it justifies this biblical worldview that's apocalyptic, that will end with the final victory of Christians. Religion is supposed to call people to their better angels and to be agents of peace, but people with his worldview have this apocalyptic reading of the Bible, which says that there will be a sorting out of who are the true believers and who are those who will be punished. And the sooner that happens, the more quickly the true believers will be vindicated and rewarded. So I asked Jeffries, is that what you meant when you said that on Sunday? I believe the Christian perspective is there is universal war going on between good and evil. But that's not what I had in mind, he said. One thing very clear in the Bible about end times is that Jesus said no man knows the day or hour. Nothing I am going to do as a Christian will speed up or delay the return of Jesus Christ. It could happen next year or in 1,000 years. You must keep in mind, among Dallas faith leaders, Jeffries is a relatively nonentity, except as a source of tourists, as my people say. Baptist preachers here say he's not even active in the Southern Baptist Convention. The man who came back to Dallas more than a decade ago and right away preached that gay is not okay, and who said not long ago that America is not a church where everyone should be welcomed regardless of race and background. It is an island in Dallas, ignored any time faith leaders are summoned by political ones to help us heal and grieve. Jeffries is just another TV talking head, selling his apocalyptic tones, and always searching for another to demonize. To find an evangelical pastor turning himself into a political commentator is remarkable, said MSU's Hunt, who wrote in 2015 that Jeffries is bad for Dallas and its image as a tolerant, welcoming place. He seems to live in a zone in which it isn't necessary to come up with evidentiary matter. He doesn't quote research. He has turned himself into a political commentator who has no basis in determinable facts. Truly, a man for our time. So that's the second article, and this is Jeffries. I'm sure you know by now that Jeffries is a great supporter of Donald Trump. And as I said before, we will expand these and take a look at what these men really want to do here, where they're heading, the direction in which they want this country to go, and the reason why they have embraced the president in the way that he has. I know that there are some of you on this line who are already aware of that, but we are planning to expand our daily briefing to include not just the article, but its relevance to the objective and goal of those who are speaking through the media. The last article I'd like to share with you today is it's one found in the Yahoo News. It's also talking about Jeffries, Robert Jeffries. But this one was published on November the 11th, 2020. And the writer of the article is David Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S. The title of the article is Prominent Trump Backer, Evangelical Minister Jeffries Admits Biden Has Won. All right? So, remember now, let's go back to the first article we took a look at today, found in the Crooks and Liars website. It was written by John Amato, published on November the 17th, 2020. Pat Robertson screams, Venezuela stole election from Trump. And then the second article is found in the Dallas Morning News, published on October the 1st, 2019, written by Robert Walensky, entitled What Robert Jeffries Meant When He Said Removing Trump Would Cause Civil War-like Fracture. And now our third one is Robert Jeffries again in Yahoo News, published November the 11th, 2020, saying prominent Trump backer, evangelical minister Jeffries admits Biden has won. Here's some of that article. Evangelical pastor Robert Jeffries has become one of the few high-profile supporters of President Trump to publicly acknowledge that the election was won by Joe Biden and to urge his followers to pray for rather than against Biden. When Joe Biden becomes president, we should commend him for the things he has done right. We should condemn the things he's done wrong. And above all, we must pray fervently for our president. Jeffries wrote in an opinion piece on Fox News, If President Biden succeeds, we all succeed. May God bless Joe Biden and may God bless the United States of America. Jeffrey is a frequent visitor to the White House who traveled with Trump during the 2016 campaign, is the senior pastor at First Baptist Church in Dallas, and his sermons are carried on 1,200 television stations across the U.S. Jeffries is also a frequent guest on Fox News, so his voice reaches many evangelical Trump voters. His message to those refusing to accept Biden's apparent victory is simple. Don't be hypocrites. It's always easier to submit and to pray for someone when he was our preferred candidate. But the rubber meets the road when the person who takes office is not one we supported, Jeffries wrote. Here is our chance to show that Christians are not hypocrites. And we'll stop there. As I said before, we're going to expand this, take a look at it, go back and take a look at these articles and the relevance of them and the reason why they are significant today and the reason why these men are supporting the president, supporting the Republican Party, and supporting their particular agenda and what that is. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings that you have continued to bestow upon us. We thank you for all that you continue to do so that we might see clearly the things that are being fulfilled based upon your word. We ask that you would give us strength today to walk with you and be prepared for that which is to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'd like to let you know today that we really appreciate the support that we have been receiving from you and your consistency in listening to our morning manna and our daily briefing. And we'd also like to ask you, if you can, to support us so that we might have a way of financing the work that we're doing here day by day, and so that we might be able to continue in the next year to do all that we have been doing in the past few. God bless you. This has been your daily briefing, December the 7th, 2020.